Now, if you've ever been to a Passover meal or to a Seder meal, you'd notice that at the beginning of the meal, back then and to this very day, the host of the meal has a set of questions to ask of the youngest one at the table. One of those questions is, Namishtana Halela Hazeh Mikol Halelot. And that is exactly the question before us tonight. Why is this night different from all other nights? Well, for starters, it's different because we're having church on a Thursday night. When was the last time you were in church on a Thursday night? Last year, right? Absolutely. The other time is if Christmas Eve falls on a Thursday. So it is not a usual thing that we do. So that makes it a different night than any other nights. The second reason why it's different than any other night is that this is the only night in the week we call Holy Week that sounds like it's confused. Is it a Monday or is it a Thursday? Now, as good Lutheran-flavored Christians that we all are, we know that it's Monday, Thursday, and we know how and what Monday, Thursday means, right? Well, in case you've forgotten, Monday is from the Latin word mandatum, which we get the word in English, mandate. And the dictionary definition of a mandate is an official order or a commissioning for someone to do something. So we call this night Monday or Mandate Thursday. In some other tradition, it's called Holy Thursday. Why? Because on the night before Jesus was crucified, he gave his disciples an order. He gave his disciples a mandate and commissioned them to do a couple of things which they were to carry on from that day forward to this very day, and hopefully our modern day disciples, us today, will carry it forward from this day forward. So the first thing that he commanded them to do, that he mandated them to do, was to celebrate his Last Supper as a new covenant in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, tells us this way. Paul wrote, "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Well, friends, I don't know about you, but I give thanks to God today, this evening, that we'll get to hear and celebrate his presence at his table tonight, just as he has mandated us to do. The second mandate or commandment that he gave that night for his disciple was for them to love one another. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And not only did he order them, commanded and mandated them to love one another, but that very evening he took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and got on his knees and began to wash his disciples' feet in order that they may know what kind of love he wanted them to have for one another in his name. So that's what makes this night different from all other nights. Now, the question is, what kind of love did Jesus mandate his disciples to have? His disciples, his original disciples then, and his modern day disciples, us. What kind of love did he mandate us to have? Well, clearly, by his example of washing his disciples' feet and dying on the cross for their sakes, it's the kind of love that serves, that blesses, is the kind of love that benefits, the kind of love that improves and empowers another. That kind of love. It's not a selfish kind of love, but it's one that is for the benefit and the well-being of another. And Jesus says, by loving in such a way, the world would know you are my disciples. Now, how is this kind of love different from other kinds of love? Well, it's important to point out that Jesus didn't mandate us to like one another, but rather to love one another. Now, there's a big difference between those two words. You know, as an English learner, I struggled with trying to use which one do I use. Do I use like in one circumstances, or do I use love? What's the difference? You know, coming from a country and a language and a culture where there's only one word for how we express an affection, having two that seem to be used similarly and interchangeably was confusing. How do you know which to use when? Because when you want to say, I like what you taught me, professor, you end up saying, I love you, professor. That's a whole different thing. How do you distinguish the difference between like and love? And if you're not clear on this, and I assume many of us are not clear on this, because we have just interchanged those two words like they mean the same thing. They don't. Here's the difference, at least in my way of thinking. Liking something or someone means that they provide a service to you. That they tend, that they care, that they cater to your needs, that they are useful to you. They are service opportunities that they have for you. For example, I like my truck. Now, for some people, that's not strong enough. They end up saying, I love my truck. I like my truck. Why? Because it does serve me. It meets my needs. It caters to what I need it to do. It serves me. I like my truck. Love, however, is different. Love is different than to like. You see, to love something or someone means that you are willing to die for it. That's what love means. When I say I love my wife, I mean exactly that I am willing to die for her and for my children. I can't say the same for my truck. I can't say the same thing for my house. That's why we Christians should really be careful in how we use like and love. Because when Jesus says, love one another, he means it. That you are willing to lay down your life for another. In fact, he said it in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the love that Jesus is talking about, the love that Jesus mandates his disciples to have, the kind of love that will go full on for the sake of the other's well-being and life. The big difference between liking someone, loving them, or liking something and loving something. We as Christians should be careful in how we express our affections, because sometimes it misleads us and places the love in the wrong place. When you should love the ones who are you willing to die for, to lay your life for, instead you are willing to die for some inanimate object that cannot love you back. So needless to say, the kind of love we're to have is not only in words, not only to be expressed in songs and in poems or in speeches, but in action. The love we're talking about is a verb. And unfortunately, for most of us, the love we're talking about is also a decision. But this love is what distinguishes us as Christians from non-Christians, from non-believers. That's what sets us apart, or ought to anyway. Because if you love the way the world loves, then how are you different? How are we different? You know, Jesus says, love one another so that the world would know, that everyone would know you are my disciples. Well, that's why it's like that old Bible camp song, remember? They will know you are Christian by our what? Love. Not by our likes, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Now, I'll admit that to love, to say to love, to preach about love, is a lot easier said than done. After all, sometimes we don't feel very loving. And to be honest, some folks are a lot easier to love than others. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and following, this is what's written. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. So there it is. There it is. The source of the kind of love that Jesus mandates us to have is God Himself. Now, it sounds obvious, and yet it's not, because subconsciously or unconsciously, we believe that somehow the source of love that we have is within us. That we come up with it ourselves. That we have the capacity to love the way Jesus wants us to love, separate and apart from God. After all, this is the subject of endless songs on radios and movie themes and romance novels and poetries. This is the theme behind when a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man. Poems and poets and writers and authors and mystics throughout the ages have expressed the meaning of love in countless ways. Volumes of books have been written about love. But I dare say that none of them come more eloquently than the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth in the 13th verse of 1 Corinthians, saying, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. the kind of love that Jesus mandates us to have. Love never ends. Now, as such as we might like to think of love in this way, and I think we all agree with Paul as to what love ought to be, it's hardly a descriptive of the love we know, of the love we experience in our daily lives. Our experience of life, of love, is often anything but patient or kind. We are prone to jealousy when someone we love show much too much attention to someone else. We can't help boasting when we do something extraordinary. I confess to that. Or being arrogant and rude when others fall short of our expectation. Most of us, from about the age of 2 years old, want to do everything our way. And we tend to get pretty irritable and resentful when someone else tells us what to do. We'd like to think that we genuinely wish the best for others. But to be honest, we can't help but snicker when someone gets what's coming to them. All this is to say, there's a big difference between the love that Paul describes to the Corinthians and the love we experience or express from day to day. Why? Because as human beings, we don't have the capacity to love the way we ought to love apart from God. You see, love, genuine and agape kind of love, can only come from God. So the good news is, when we place God at the center of our lives, at the center of our universe, at the center of our very being and existence, God's love fills our hearts and gives us the grace to love one another. Apart from God's love, we cannot fulfill Jesus' mandate that he issued that we're remembering this night. And when God fills our hearts with his love, not just in part or for a moment or two, but fully, intimately, completely, and for all times, then we're able, in various ways, we're able to carry out the mandate that Jesus told and asked us to do. See, only godly love is able to bear all things. Only godly love is able to believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. And so, contrary to what the world would have us believe, the source of love is not within us, not by our own doing. It's within the very being of God who is in us. For 1 John chapter 4 tells us that we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So what does all this mean for us this evening? Well, because Jesus willingly gave up his life as an act of love toward us by dying on the cross in our steads, it means that we are now free to live in gratitude, in thanksgiving to God, and free to live to share the good news of God's forgiveness with others. Because through what Christ did on the cross, we're now able to reconcile with God and thereby offer the possibility of reconciling with others, with those who have, with whom we had discord with, those whom we have not gotten along with. And because in Christ, God supplies the things we need for a full and abundant life, we're free to reach out to others in the name of Jesus Christ with gifts of kindness, patience, generosity, and may even be willing to lay down our lives for another. The truth is, we are to godly love others because God first loved us in Christ Jesus. And the tangible proof of such love that God has for us, and God, and the love that God has for the world, is what Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday is all about. These 3 days, the Triduum, is what God's love is all about. Such love that he could not help but have his own son lay his life down for you and me that we may live. May we be filled with that godly love in us so that we may love even the unlovable among us so that the world would know we are Jesus' disciples. So that the world would know we are different than the rest. So the world will know that we have been loved and forgiven, sanctified by the Most High God. The story continues tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I hope you will come as we will hear how Jesus ended his life. Until then, I entrust you into the hands, into the love, unfailing and unfathomable love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.